job of your practice.
Right?
Yes.
Very good.
No, I think it's been quite interesting because I had very stable practice, not so many storms.
Oh, okay. That's it.
But yesterday, when we started talk, we started to talk about the situation, and I completely lost my. Not temper, how to say, my balance of mind.
Oh God!
When we talked about some situation, I was really surprised that I lost it so quickly.
Ah,
that was like.
So you think it's your meditation has become balanced, right?
I thought so. Yeah. And
well,
I thought.
Defend so. One, defend it, come and one punch.
It felt almost like the opposite.
How did it?
What felt like almost the opposite?
That I lost my balance so quickly just by talking about some situation.
So can you never go like that? Never balance can.
I was not even in the situation. You were just talking about some situation.
Tu neram masa. Neram masa kan. Sanjir dan kewa.
Then I thought it doesn't work, this technique.
It's not strong enough.
It
says you've got only 7 days of practice.
No, I truly.
You will really.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he said there was another yogi. He said the same thing. After 9 days of practice, and then he lost his temper. He's like,
yeah.
What happened to the 9 days of practice?
Yeah.
He got angry when he lost his temper.
Oh, how did you have your body go? Yeah, go to talk about it.
So it shows that the whatever power we have been building is not enough to fight with the power that was already there before we started building this one.
Yeah. And I also realized there's some things that is very deep in me that trigger some reactions.
Some of our own stuff, you know, our beliefs and stuff, yeah, they can be very strong, very triggering.
Are they learning the woman?
So we learn about them.
Yeah.
Oh, Jaja Atulani, do it to me, Nyalani, or Nalilani.
And the more we practice, the more we explore and observe and notice and learn, the more we understand. So there were two Russian yogis at the center. They've been practicing a while, maybe a month or two, and then or a few weeks, and they felt quite confident about the practice. They felt quite stable. They could maintain awareness, and you know, in the center people talk, so they thought they were quite okay. They wanted to go to the city, so he said, "Okay, go be mindful." They said yes. They went to the city and came back. He said, "Not strong enough yet."
Not challenging yet.
No, not up to the challenge yet.
No?
Up to the challenge.
Will you be in Shui Min in November and December?
January.
December,
January, February. Until February.
December, January.
March, I leave.
Okay.
June, July, August, September. July, August, September. September. What's that? Rainy season.
Don't be discouraged by the fact that we lose our mindfulness easily. Yeah, just start again.
Try
One of the factors for good practice is, in Burmese there's a little verse, or the first line of the verse is, with wakefulness, we must be ready. Meaning that, you know, whether we have something emotional to deal with or not, we should always be mindful, which is wakefulness. You know, so with wakefulness, we should be ready. So that...
You say wake or wake?
วัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยวัยว
That was when he was depressed and he began to try practicing at home. The initial phase was, you know, he was watching all his difficult emotions, and of course that was a very strong motivation to keep being aware. And then it would start getting better. And he says once he began to feel better, he would lose the motivation to be mindful so closely. And he says then he would start, you know, be like he usually is. You know, he'd start talking and joking with his neighboring shops or customers. And then he says maybe somebody says something or does something that triggers something in his mind. And he said it's like somebody hit him really hard, you know, hit a sore point. They don't know. But for him, it brings up all his old anxieties and fears and you know, maybe shame and guilt or whatever it brought up, you know, and anger and stuff like that. And then he said, oh, he would be overwhelmed again. All those old fears and feelings. And then he'd have to watch them again. And then it gets better. And when it's better, then he would forget again. He would become forgetful again and start being happy again, and you know,
and he'll get suffer again.
He said it felt like people were coming by and to slap him or hit him or punch him, not purposely, just that his mind wasn't strong enough to you know, be resilient. And he says he suffered this many times. Every day it happened. Every day the mind is triggered so easily. And he says, after many times, maybe weeks or months, he was like, he began to think about why he kept, you know, going back into this cycle again. Then he realized that he was becoming relaxed. Or lax, you know, he was starting to
not try to be mindful
when he starts feeling better. So then he realized he can't stop being mindful. So that even when he was feeling better, and if there was nothing to do, he wouldn't now waste his time talking to people and all. He started to always be mindful of something, just continuously.
Be ready.
So that he's ready, so that when people come and talk to him and all that, he does it.
Do we not define many years ago? Yeah. Now, through defilement,
he says other people are full of defilements too. And they come and they unload their defilements on us. And if we're not ready, he says, then we get affected by them. We get infected. So no matter who comes, even the devil, he says we'll be ready. Even with family, he said, he started to realize he can't just relax. He can't just drop the mindfulness. He must always have mindfulness on the ready. Then his mindfulness got better, got more continuous. So this is how we learn from life and our failures or difficulties.
But I'm thinking about Sayadaw's story here, when he got angry or whatever the negative emotions was, he was observing. But also the teachings that we learn here is that observing is not enough, that maybe at that time questions is appropriate, yeah? Why is this anger coming up? What is triggering it? Because that's how I also...
Yeah, I think his situation was, his depression was so strong, he wasn't asking any questions right then.
Yeah,
all he did was watch. All his questioning came later. He said, like, say in this situation, you know, he would be mindful, relax, and then somebody would say something and he would get triggered again, and then he starts asking himself, why do I keep falling into this again? And then he starts to ask and check himself and then strategize a new way of trying to deal with it. He says the questions come from the wisdom, the need to understand more.
Because
the mindfulness was somewhat present, he was trying to be to have mindfulness. He said then the mind began to notice how, you know, he kept falling into some sort of like the same trap over and over again. You know, and then the questioning comes, why do I keep getting into this spiral? And then thinking about how to deal with it. He says if when the mind really wants to know, when the mind really wants to figure it out, it will ask its own questions and try to find its way.
I would like to ask a personal question, because I remember your story about your anger on the beginning of this practice, that you came home from your office and you broken.
Oh, but that was much later in his practice.
And I would like to ask, how is it now with anger and you?
He does get angry, but he doesn't stay angry long. He doesn't have such explosive temper.
Good
Now this
because
point,
it was this pendulum, I remember.
The pendulum story is like in his youth, right? It's about sound and understanding the nature of craving and delusion. Yeah.
I discover here this core of some of everything is. It's not balanced. My trust. I have some doubts about myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is the focus of everything. This is the root, really. I discover here, and I can watch in the same time, or I can realize in the same time the watching mind and the wisdom, the quality of wisdom. And my question is if I can pick up or asking or calling wisdom as itself, you know, if I can ask wisdom, please help me or something like this.
Wisdom is many types.
Yeah.
And just asking doesn't always necessarily ignite the right type of wisdom that we need for that moment.
Yeah.
Mm. So the reason he explains wisdom to us so much is so that when there is wisdom, we should recognize, oh, this was the wisdom operating at this time.
Yes, 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 I know.
Yeah, yeah. That's all. That's but it doesn't mean that, you know, we can will it to happen. And also, the insights, okay, the insights that come, that wisdom he's not so concerned with, because that's a result.
Yeah.
He's more concerned with the wisdom that's part of the process.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah,
yes, yeah.
That we understand how to be unbiased, see as things as nature, notice if there's identification or not, and all that. Yeah.
You know, if it's process, if I'm watching the process, mind is watching the process, and suddenly some quality of mind is coming, wisdom may be know better than the situation I am in now. I'm now in this situation. No, not here. I'm just mentioning what you said at the beginning of what you said, that you know, you saw how the core of everything you do is this mind that has not belief in itself, and all right, like no confidence in ourselves. And he says, when you see that mind, don't do anything. Watch that mind. Yes, yes, yes.
Don't do things. Don't continue to operate with that mind.
Yeah.
Watch it.
It's old habit. Yeah.
Keep an eye on it. That mind is a defilement, not right view. So don't do anything with that mind. Because if we do things with that mind, then that mind is going to be wild. The mind will do all sorts of.
I should say it was very good for me here, because I was very tensed in the showman this year. So, and I relax a lot, mindfully, and it helps me a lot. I can meditate longer because.
When you came to Sherman, he said he didn't let you do anything.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, this point is quite strongly on my mind. I would be quite interested in this view. Now I'm really wondering again and again how to safeguard this whole practice from becoming too self-referential. Means preoccupied with oneself, one's liberation, one's practice, and so on. Right? There's a famous poem by Ajahn Buddhadasa, great Thai master. He talks about three duties every human being has.
Three.
Yeah. As an individual, to search for the truth. That's what we are doing. In generally in Vipassana tradition. As a fellow human being, to care about others. To come to others with empathy and conscious. And as a citizen of the world, which is in a very difficult state at the moment. And I would say 90%, from my experience in Vipassana traditions, the attention is to the first. You say that when one overcomes delusions, automatically compassion, karuna, metta manifests.
Did you use the word overcomes delusion?
Yeah, when one sees through them, then, you know, if the mind is free of them, then naturally metta would manifest.
That's when?
When?
I don't use the word if because that assumes that all the delusion is gone. So I would say when, because we usually are in a state of sometimes less delusion, sometimes.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
That's a detail.
Sorry, what?
That's a detail. I know.
That's a detail.
Yes, but even that practice, you know, one can do metta practice, karuna practice, and so on, deliberately just trying to cultivate that state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, metta and karuna practice generally is considered samatha practice.
Mm-hmm.
So the main aim of those practices is to bring about calm in oneself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much to bring about compassion and metta for others. I mean, this is a sort of side effect. Mainly it's about it's a classical concentration exercise, you know, in a longer retreat, you do it to bring about jhanic states, you know. The Brahma Viharas are called practices that serve the jhanas. So, I mean, even there's quite an emphasis on one's own calm.
Okay.
And the third level is completely left out, from my experience. I mean, because that enters the whole realm of views. If you enter
view.
You know, as a citizen of the world, I mean, there's some teachers of engaged Buddhism that get political and so on, but it is more an exception.
Mm-hmm.
You have to come to the world and with views, for example, in political activism.
Okay.
You express certain views, and there's all the ground for it in the Buddha's teaching, because he very strongly made the point that it is view, right view, which is guiding the whole path.
Yeah, but he said monks should not get politically.
Yes, sure, but we are not. The Vipassana tradition is mainly lay oriented, or strongly lay oriented.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah, he had advice for the monk on. He had advice for kings on how to rule the kingdoms, how to make tax laws and laws and stuff like that.
Right. And I think he would teach much more of that today, while there's so much suffering created on the world. Because of certain imperialist policies, one country after the other attacked and destroyed, and that's happening out of certain views, out of certain convictions.
Mm-hmm.
The idea, for example, that there is an exceptional nation that has the right to oppose or operate its view onto others, I don't want to get too much into that, but there's all the ground for a Buddhist to deal more with that level, because that's where most suffering is created. I mean, there's millions and millions of deaths from unnecessary wars.
Mm.
And generally, I don't notice this attitude with Buddhists, even in personal discussions. And I'm really wondering about this, because definitely there's all the ground in the Buddha's teaching. He made very clearly the point, views are the guiding factor, the main guiding factor of behavior, of speech. In the suttas of the canon, you have lots of debates with contemporary teachers, contemporary views. The introductory sutta of the long discourses is a critical assessment of 64 wrong views of his time, which very much goes into reflection, you know.
We need to keep it like a little bit, because I can't tell him everything you've just said now. Yeah,
I'll leave it there. So I just want to say there's all the ground for the Dharma to be more of a basis for political activism, but it's not happening in the Buddhist world. And most Buddhists I know, they are completely apolitical, or very apolitical. And if they express political views, it's usually mainstream. They go along with what they read from the mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a critical, investigative attitude they bring to the practice.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be very interested in this.
You
mm-hmm.
are feeling that.
Is it a galusha? Tapi orang di atas rumah ni belum lo, degogang sana the ball, degogang sana tu ratu tapi orang tu self. Did you use the word self-referencing? Is that the word you use?
Self-referential.
Yeah, self-referencing. Yeah. So koko, yang ap, koko ap, ဖြူတယ်တဘောတိတ်မဖြစ်အောင်ဗောလေတဘောဟိုအထုမှာအမ်ငါတိကျနေငါလုံးမြောက်ချင်နေငါလုံးမြောက်မှုငါငါငါဗောကိုအကြောင်းဗောကိုကိုကိုအရင်လုံးမြောက်အောင်အရင်လုံးမယ်ဗောအမ်ကိုအထုမှုအရင်ကြည့်တယ်ဗောအဲ့ဒီတဘောကို Pyojina ne ne kili ta be ma yaw aw bo pyojina tin na be da be me naw saka ta cha shi yaw wa to pyo bodda da bodda da ta ko thai community ba pyo le le ho lu rei ma taw yin tong ku shi le bo ko po ko taw yin shi le ko lo myaw ko no number 2 ka lu lu chin number 3 ka gaba ti gaba i ဟုတ်ကတော့မလို့ကဘာပေါ်မှာကိုတောင်းရှိတယ်ဒါပေမဲ့သူကပြောတယ်ဟိုမြတ်စွာဘုရားတရားကိုလည်းမြတ်စွာဘုရားဟိုဒီအကြောင်းနေဟောပါတယ်လက်ဟောပါတယ်ဆိုတာဒီဥပမာ
လူနေရဘယ်လိုထိုင်ရဘယ်လိုလုပ်ရမလဲဘယ်ညစ်လို့ပြင်းအ
ဲ့ဒါတပြီးတော့ပြောတာဘယ်ဘုရားကဒီလိုဟောထားဆိုတော့
သူကသူ့လိုကျင့်ဝတ်ကျင့်ရမယ်ဘယ်ရင်ဘယ်ရင်ကျင့်ဝတ်နဲ့ကျင့်ရမယ
်ဒါမဲ့ဒါမဲ့သူကအဲ့လိုသူကသူကသူကဘယ်လိုစဉ်းစားလဲဆိုတော့ဗုဒ္ဓဘာသာတယောက်အနေနဲ့သူကပြောမောဟမရှိတော့ဘူးဆိုရင်သူကဆိုရင်လို့ပြောတယ်တပြည့်ကပြောတယ်မောဟမရှိတော့ဘူးဘာဆိုတော့လူတွေကမောဟအမြဲရှိနေတယ
်
တစ်ခါတလေမရှိတဲ့အခါပဲကိုတခုခုညာနဲ့လုံနိုင်တယ်လေသူကပြောတယ်မောဟမရှိတဲ့အခါမှာဆိုတော့မောဟမရှိတော့ဘူးပေါ့
ဟုတ်အဲ့ဆို
အဲ့ဆိုယဟနာပြပြီးအဲ့ဆိုလုံနိုင်ပြီလေဒါပေမဲ့ယဟနာမှာဘယ်သူမှမဖြစ်ဘူးလေဒါပေမဲ့အဲ့ဒါသူ့ကိုမပြောရနိုင်ဘူးအဲ့တော့ပြောရမယ်မောဟမရှိတော့ဘူးဆိုရင်လည်းအဲ့ဆိုရင်ဟိုကဘာလဲကိုဟိုဘယ်လိုခေါ်မလဲတောင်းဝင်ကြည်ကြည်တောင်းဝင်ကြည်ကြည်ဆိုတော့ဘယ်လိုခေါ်မလဲကိုလိုအပ်တာကိုလိုအပ်ဖြည့်ပေးနိုင်တာကိုထောက်ပံ့နိုင်တာကိုလုပ်နိုင်ပြီပေါ့ဘာဖြစ်လို့လူတွေမလုပ်ကြလဲတဲ့ဗုဒ္ဓဘာသာတော်တော်များများဒီလိုဟို politics ကပမာလည်းဘယ်လိုနိုင်ငံရေးတွေတိတ်မပါခြင်းဘူးဟုတ်မှာ
ဗျာနဲ့ဆိုင်ရဟာလူလူကြီးလူကြီးတွေမှာ
ဒီမှာလူကြီးတွေမကောက်ဟိုကဘာကြီးတွေတိတ်မပါခြင်းဘူးသူတို့ကဟိုကိုအားထုတ်မှုနဲ့ကိုပေါ့နည်းနည်းပါးပါးစဉ်းစားရင်စဉ်းစားမယ်ဒါပေမဲ့လိုက်ပြီးတော့လုတ်တာအနေတယ်ပေါ့လေဘာကြောင့်လဲသူကအဲ့လိုပြောဖေကဟောပြီးတာပဲဘာကြောင့်မလုတ်လဲ
ကိုကူကပြည့်စုံနေလို့ရှင်မပြည့်စုံနေလို့ပြည့်စုံနေလူဆိုရင်တော့ထွက်လာရင်လည်းထွက်လာမှာပေါ့သူကပြည့်စုံနေထင်တကယ်ပြည့်စုံနေထင်တော့လုတ်ချင်လည်းလုတ်မှာပေါ့နော်ဒါသူတက္ကနာပဲဒါသူဇေယျနဲ့သူ
ဆိုတော့ answer lies
သူကလုံနိုင်တယ်သူကမလုံနိုင်ဘူးယဟန္တာနိုင်တော့ quality တူတာမဟုတ်ဘူ
း answer lies partly in the way you phrased your question you said if we had no more delusion so yes if we had no more delusion we possibly might have the ability the wisdom and the understanding of how to get actively involved in such endeavors However, Seattle says, there is also the matter of individual characters and personalities. Like even among the Arahants in the Buddha's time, they all had different personalities and each had their leanings to what their preferences and what, how they wanted to live their lives was. And so similarly, even if we had a lot of Buddhists who had no more delusion, whether all of them would take up the world's causes would be up to the individual personalities and their inclinations
right look at it now that 60 90 လောက်ကပုံမှန်တုံးနဲ့ထွက်တာအဲ့မှာတရားပြ
တ
ူဒီနဲ့အများကြီးဆက်ဆံကြသူနားလည်လာတယ်သူအဲ့မှာမဟာစီရှိနေနော်အဲ့ပုံမှန်အလုံးနိုင်ငံကြီးတယ
် yeah
လူတွေနဲ့ဆက်ဆံတာပဲ
yeah
သူဒီမျိုးတင်တာပဲတော့ဘုရားယဟန္တာဖြစ်တဲ့လူတွေကိုကဘာဖြတ်မှုတလောက်၄ရောက်မသွားနိုင်ဘူ
း
တရောက်ကြတော့သွားရတယ်
ညာ so
လုပ်ပါလုပ်နိုင်တယ်လုပ်က
ြ so Seattle said let me gather my thoughts
look at the atomic ကဘာဖြတ်
The Buddhists are the monks who have, you know, practiced the Dharma and felt they knew enough and wanted to spread the knowledge about the Dharma so that other people could benefit from it. He says there have been many, not just in Burma, but Thailand and so on, and we know many great teachers. And he said, and those who can have done this Those who can.
Yeah.
Those who have the ability have done this, have spread the Dharma to those, you know, to those that they are able to spread it to. Yeah, and he gives the example of Mahasi Sierra, Mr. Goenka, who's, you know, whose techniques of meditation have become well known around the world. And then he also said earlier how in the Buddha's, in the things that the Buddha taught, for example, he taught about the duties of citizens, you know, like what a good citizen should, he talked about what a good king should do and so on. So like everybody has their role in how they should conduct themselves.
Yeah, well, that's a completely different time and society. And today the world is confronted with immense dangers and threats.
Yeah, so he says our immediate urgency is to deal with the dangers in this mind, because when we are free of the dangers in this mind, then we can think about freeing the dangers outside of it.
Yeah, can I say one point to that?
Yeah.
Because I find that a very helpful model is those three duties, and it does make a hierarchy between them. It says all three of them are important for a practitioner. You know, to do the work as an individual, to do the work as a fellow human being, and to do the work as a citizen of the world.
Yes.
And I think on all of those three levels,
yes,
equal learning can take place.
Learn.
So to say, well, first the work as an individual, the Dharma work as an individual has to be completed,
mm-hmm,
before you can enter the two others.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, then you probably can wait endlessly, you know.
Yeah, but
and you always find an excuse for not entering the other two. And I think the learning can take place equally on all of those three levels.
Yeah, he did say that it's up to the individual as well, right? Those who have the inclination will do it. Gwabyore ho, ko ye ko ta lu hu sa sa ye, gaba sa sa ye le, ko ko lo ma ting an sa yu do ya re bo li, ko moha ko ma be, ta cha ha ting an sa re, ko moha ma shi rong sui, ho wa lo ma sui. Yeah, so this is, you know, first there is the individual's inclinations. Some people want to be politically active and some people don't. And the other thing is, if one wants to be politically active, one must know that one has the necessary wisdom and the right motivations and energies to enter into such an arena. So that's a, for example, if you can't swim, you can't go in and save anyone from drowning.
Sure.
So,
no, you are not there.
Yeah, otherwise both will die. Yeah. So you have to be mature enough.
Okay. Change topic.
Okay. Next. Mm. It's your interest, yeah. Mm.
Okay, so sorry, again.
Sorry?
When Sayar was talking about his learning or about his in dealing with the depression that he was affected. When he got better, he started to talk, he was relaxed, and then he got smashed. Yeah.
Well, mainly that he stopped being mindful. It's not the activity, but that he stopped being mindful and went back to,
something happened also like to me that I let just lobha to come, just really, because it was really very beautiful. And it was just for a little while, and I saw it's like it wasn't here, but it's for a little while. And then a huge suffering came afterwards.
Mm. Because and of a dream, the consequence.
Yeah, because of the consequence.
Mm.
And it was really like horrible suffering.
Mm.
It was like just jumping from Lobha to Doza, it's like it was like all this sadness,
mm.
haters came up, like so low self-confidence.
Yeah.
And it just like brought all these old memories, like what was happening. And what I saw at some point, when I was deluded by sadness or depression.
You were what?
My mind was deluded.
Deluded.
Depression.
Mm-hmm.
The people reacted differently than when I actually there wasn't any depression in the mind.
Mm.
So at this point, I was able to observe all the others, like they reacted differently when I was in different attitude of mind, which was really like seeing that actually kind of like mind is kind of like tricks, you know, like it's all the people, they really just was feeling how my mind was.
Mm.
Or I believe even I was acting according to mind, like, you know, what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, if I have to, you know, do, I am sad, actually, there was a sadness, and I had to go and work.
Mm.
What to do at that point? Because if there is depression, I still have to go and work.
Mm-hmm. So you did, right? Go to work.
Yeah.
So you asked, why you ask, what do you do?
Because you said, like, there's, like, in case there was not to do anything.
Not to do anything, to go so long.
No, Shibya, Bama Malong and Upyora.
Malong
Malong da Upyora mo. Can you give me the context where he said he's not doing anything?
Like Yudhka, when she came to Shwamin.
Oh,
he said not to meditate. When he told her not to do anything, he telling her not to meditate.
Not to meditate.
Sitting
anything.
Meditation.
Yeah.
Walking meditation.
Just knowing. Just know. Just knowing.
Just
try
yeah.
Before
yeah,
yeah,
doing.
So, yeah,
yeah.
Not
so,
to meditate.
Yeah, yeah.
For
her, sitting meditation was off limits. Yeah.
Yeah.
She could do casual meditation.
Yeah.
Informal, not formal.
Not sitting, which was too intense. She was doing
depression. Tamari, Bama Malong is so
lari. Yeah, but for people who are depressed, they must do things. If they have to work, they should work. If they don't do anything, just sit at home and do nothing, they'll get worse.
To push in
that
depression,
get worse and worse.
Yeah, it gets really bad.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Because
depression gives you very lack of energy, and if you don't do something, at least you do something, you have to keep using your energy. So the energy is generated. But if you sit, all you do is think, and you
what was happening.
Yeah,
like I was sitting, there was like all this thinking coming.
Yeah.
And it was like coming like sadness, haters, like lots of emotions. It was huge attachment to these feelings.
It was like attached. That's right. He said depression is like that, you know. He knows that. He said it's like such a strong, the train is like such a strong energy to keep going on that one track, and to change track very, very difficult, but we have to change its track. You have to stop the mind thinking of those things that depress the mind. Somehow you have to find anything that helps the mind to get off its track. You must do that.
Also when the sitting, I also like I really just observe the mind and the attitude, and if I watch the pain, there is a different thing, when there is like, it's kind of like, I just wonder if I can now trust the mind, because I watch the pain and I see the, it's some bubbling, or it's like squeezing or anything, and it's there is a not dislike in the mind, but then it switches, and it looks like the river, and it's like bubbling, and the pain becomes like, it's still the same pain, but the mind changes that it likes it.
Okay.
And I can see now, like, that Roma and Dusa, it's like, it's just the same.
I have to trust the mind, yeah.
Like, I cannot now, because I'm now thinking also about, like, low self-confidence. And at this time, now I have lots of doubts, and now I'm actually even doubting about if I am correctly aware. The mind is just, playing the thing. It's like, I'm thinking, like, is this Lobha? Is this Dusa? What is it? It's just changing.
It's like scratching yourself, you know? First it's nice, and you keep scratching and scratching, and then it gets painful. And it's not nice anymore.
Yeah.
So
the doubt comes because you don't see
process.
The full process. So you kind of see that you're watching the sensation. You know, first the sensation is seen like this, the mind feels like this, and the sensation seen like this, the mind feels like this, the mind feels like this, sensation is seen like that. But you don't see how the thinking is affecting how you feel about the sensation. So your thoughts, when we think the sensation is something unpleasant, when the mind thinks, that's when it starts to feel like the mind doesn't like it. The feeling becomes unpleasant. But when the mind thinks the sensation is, oh, maybe it's nice or it's neutral, something like that, the feeling starts to change.
Yeah, but I don't change the thinking.
No. That's the mind.
The mind too low to go
down. So which I believe in. Like, I shouldn't.
No, you're not messing up. But look what you're doing. So he's not asking you to believe the mind. He's asking you.
Which way you are? Can I say defilement in the sigma when you are?
He's asking you to know the mind. Okay, so that we will begin to understand which is delusion, which is anger, which is aversion, which is aversion, which is greed. He said, the only mind that we can trust is wisdom when it comes. Delusion, greed, aversion, craving, discontent, we can't believe those minds. Jealousy, envy, all that. Can't believe them. Only delusion believes those minds. You know, and gives it energy. He says, but delusion, you know, is their friend. So we have feelings, we have cravings, we have aversions, and then delusion believes them, gives them more momentum so that they grow. So our work is not to deal with them, our work is to observe. That's
conclusion
all. We don't even have to make a conclusion. It's not our business to even decide what to do with them. We just watch and know, oh, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening, this is happening. That's all.
And how can I be sure that it's just observing?
That you learn from the practice. That is part of the learning of the practice. When you start to realize, oh, I was not only watching, I was being, I had an agenda, there was greed. You learn from your own mind. That's why it wasn't work. Okay, now. Yeah, the mind.
He says, is it possible that I cannot, at some point, I could not say that?
Yes, we will make mistakes.
No, I mean, like, that could be some different view of the mind. That at some point, for example, in my case, I was really, at my childhood, I just was suppressing all the emotions.
Yeah.
And there was no, like, place, like, for my explanations or understanding what is happening.
Okay.
Is it possible that now it's when I comes all this sadness and passion or everything, it's just I cannot have this right awareness because I don't know how actually the feeling looks like because I was suppressing it.
Think you can say like that. That has nothing to do with your Right awareness has nothing to do with the object. So whether your feelings were suppressed before and whether you know what the feeling is like or not, doesn't matter. You are aware of what you know now. That's all you need to know. It's just the knowing that needs to grow. It's not the things that you know that need to change.
Right?
So it's not about your objects.
No, it's not about solving any problems in your life. It's about just being aware. Meditation is not about solving
problems.
Because once that's the hidden agenda, right? We start to spin all these, oh, maybe I'm not doing it right and all that, all because we are trying to fix the problem. And this is a mistake we make over and over and over again until we learn how to become more skillful in being aware, which is to be simple, which is to just trust the process. He says, you know, when we are being mindful, even if we never have a solution, while we are being mindful, we have some relief, at the very least. So we should not want too much or expect too much. We should stay with what we are doing and what we have now. That's why he practiced at home. He said it was because every time he was mindful for a moment, he had a moment of relief. He didn't even believe that mindfulness would help him overcome his depression. He didn't think so. He didn't believe that the mindfulness would help him to relieve his depression until he had one experience where for a split second where he was being mindful, he knew the sensation clearly, and for that split second his depression lifted. And then it came back. The depression was back. But because of that split second of clarity, that's when his mind was like, this can lead to the end. It can lead to the end of the depression. But before that, he was doing it for months. He didn't believe that he was going to be free of his depression. He was just doing it because it was less painful than being not mindful. And when our practice is very simple, simplicity can be very, very powerful.
Mm-hmm. Can I add something to that? Because I'm thinking about what you said and about just observing, that's our work. But sometimes when I'm stuck in similar problems, which I am right now, I ask the question sort of like, what would be the wisest thing to do right now? What would be the most wholesome thing to do? Mm-hmm. To stay and wait, or maybe to do take some action, mm-hmm. and to see which is mostly beneficial for myself, mm-hmm. and for others. And maybe I have a couple of different options, do nothing, make a phone call, or go somewhere, or talk to somebody, or whatever.
Yeah.
And isn't that something active, instead of just observing? So that's a question that I do, and isn't that also, I don't know where I'm coming with this, but
yeah,
that's yeah, anyway, how I do.
Yes, that is a good thing. But I think when he says to be mindful, he's not saying to do nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just means that even through the choices you make, to be mindful. Be mindful of the choice you make, what is the consequence of the choice? Do you make the same choice again next time? You know, it's a continual learning process. Yeah. And the fact that you feel that you have a choice means there's mindfulness and wisdom. Right?
Yeah.
And when there is wisdom, it means awareness is already there. Wisdom cannot exist without sati. And when we are mindful, the five faculties are present. So wisdom is part of it. We can do that. We can ask ourselves, what shall we do? What is the wisest thing for me right now? And if we make it a habit to do
right
that.
Right thought is easier. Right thought is wrong thought is easier.
If we make it a habit to think positively that way, to think constructively that way, it becomes a habit for the mind to be constructive. He says, right thought is one of the Noble Eightfold Path. What we don't want to go down is the wrong path of wrong
thought. Right dog awareness.
But what we want to remember always is to have mindfulness. You know, we can think and think and think, and we might not notice when it starts going into wrong thought if we don't have mindfulness.
Woke up with quite a bad migraine, so quite a lot of pain. So I made the choice not to go to the meditation, but to meditate in bed where I could have something cold strapped here and something hot strapped there and something around. So looking after conditions to support awareness. I was just thinking what Sayadaw had said about the noticing the thoughts that are influencing the mind, and I do notice some thoughts with the pain, but they're quite occasional thoughts of I can't actually remember what I've noticed at the moment, but to do that, wishing it wasn't there, but they're very very occasional. So what I tend to focus on more is the feeling, just how it's feeling, and the difference between if it feels like the feeling of some defilement there, to some heaviness or cloudiness or something. What I noticed earlier was self-pity. It's just okay, that's there, and then that's giving some relief, that like the cider, and not making it go away in any sense, but some, it shows me where the mind has been caught, is buying into the pain, if you like. So it feels like it's quite subtle and quite subtly interesting.
Yeah.
And it sometimes goes into the habit of dosa, whether it's whether I catch the feeling or occasionally catch the thought. But yeah, there's also times when it actually it is okay. It is just okay. Either I don't know what's going on, and then other times when it really is okay, that it's okay, this is how it is. That's right. He says that the it's quite interesting how the presence of the
Divine
is very subtle,
makes
us feel more pain. Yeah, in different ways. And
unconscious level
and as we watch our minds for a long, long time, he said it becomes so interesting to see these very subtle layers of defilements at work. He saw something funny this morning. He went to the loo. His toilet is long and narrow, and one side is closer, one wall is closer to his body than the other. He's feeling a little bit, I think the sauna makes him a little, you know, drained. Yeah, makes
him
feel a bit drained. So. And he noticed how he wanted to lean against the wall and what like caught his attention was how he didn't consciously think I'm going to lean this arm against this wall, but he saw the very subtle thought that decided he's going to use this arm against this wall and use that arm against the other wall, and then so it was just the right fit for him inside that loo. And but he was it was really interesting. He said he didn't try, but just really
notice
the mind at work.
Yeah,
doing its own thing. Memory.
Very
interesting. Mm-hmm. So I've been noticing, actually a couple of days ago, but it's carried on a bit more around the lower back. And I found myself having thoughts about, or a few images and thoughts about pleasurable things that I was going to do or eat. Usually read or eat. Once the retreat was finished. So a little thought about cheese. And I sort of recognized the quality of the enjoyment, the loba, as taking anticipating taking a holiday from awareness. By indulging, love by indulging.
Yeah. So that's why he was talking about the planning mind this morning. He says, and you know, to the greed that's planning to take a holiday from awareness, he says, awareness can say to the greed, it's okay, you can come along, but I'll just be there. We can go on holiday together. Awareness wants to go on holiday too.
Like greed would care. Greed would say, "Yeah, come along. I do whatever I want anyway."
He says it's greed that won't like awareness to be on holiday with greed. You know, greed doesn't like awareness, but awareness is like, I don't care. I'm coming on holiday too. I'm going to be here. Yeah, and have some fun.
He
says so much of our planning is with greed.
Yeah. What I noticed,
because we don't plan to be unhappy usually. Yeah.
These future imaginings, what I noticed was them taking away from being in the present.
Mm.
But there was some understanding of that lobha can only ever, it was giving you more pleasure in the present moment. Lobha was trying to get pleasure in the present moment by imagining
the future.
These things.
Yeah. Do you tell me that lobha atua? Greed
does its work. Yeah. And then seeing lobha in the present, anticipating, getting pleasure from anticipating the future, I can affect. Awareness affects that future, so that future is more likely to have awareness in it because it's been recognized and seen. This process of it's all about, it's about the present, global wanting pleasure by anticipating in the future.
Yeah.
When it's seen, it feels like that itself conditions
awareness to be present in the future.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, that means lobha alone lo ni man tu ti ni lo tu sin sa mi de tu lobha alone lo chin na o alone ba myo le so ra ti lo tu ai chain ma lobha la de chain ma le tu tadi ya ba ni ba so aku khre ya lobha ye
chou
mi ni yes.
Yeah, so it felt like the karmic implications as well, for the preventing of future.
Just depends on the wisdom that comes. The stronger the wisdom, the more it can prevent.
It's just a dropping out a word. So I know, like, I really appreciate the practice. So I have that sort of desire for spiritual development. But so what happens is that when I'm trying to be aware, so the sitting, or as my awareness increases, maybe that's the thing, then all my defilements come up. But the lot of body sensations that then become very overwhelming, so then I back off and have to kind of reduce my awareness, maybe go for a walk.
Stop.
So
okay. So the to tukotu alo to te chene say say to te mu tu lo chene bo tama tu the di ta le sika ni na le ki ni ta le ya po po la le shi le ki ni ta le po po la le so to kana ku kan za mu le chi ni la kan za mu le ya oh o bo pa mu phi la le sma mu la a lo tu a Maybe you're focusing too much on the
focus level. The object was a developer.
Because when you focus into the body sensations or any sensations or into any object, it magnifies the object and then it can feel overwhelming.
In your tone, like it's just there, like I know, and it feels like I'm identifying to
it. Again, look, the DC made
it. Oh, identification.
Like, yeah,
identify a man.
Have a space.
So the identification is in the thoughts. So he says the problem is that we're not just purely aware, we're aware and thinking at the same time. So that's how the identification comes.
Okay.
Yeah. So
identification will take like something like take like two inches.
So if we notice the identification, says, then know it's identifying and stop. Stop thinking about the problem. Stop thinking about what you're experiencing.
Stop thinking about the feeling.
Yes, stop thinking about the feeling. You definitely don't think about the feeling.
Yeah, maybe I don't even know if I do it. Just it's so the feeling is so strong. You know, like if you have panic or anxiety, it's so strong. The feeling is there.
I don't do look.
You see, it's.
I don't do look. You try object that way. You try object that. Very helpful look. I'm not doing that thing. Move the dog. Actually, like when I was doing it.
Do I need a bit of paper? Do I that download? Yeah.
You try object that way.
He says so, because he wants you to learn to be able to deal with it and not just have to keep running away from it.
That's what I'm thinking, that I'll run away and then I'll calm and come back and I feel like I'm back to day one again.
Yes.
See,
he says what you need to do is start when it's small. Don't wait until it's big. Okay? The moment you see the beginnings of what you recognize to be that which gets bigger, you see the beginnings of it, start knowing a neutral object. Like your breath or something. And always very deliberately. Very deliberately you stay on the neutral object and you know, like from the corner of the eye, then you know that that sensation is there. Okay, but you must anchor your mind on a neutral object. And you just keep that neutral object so it keeps the awareness strong.
Yeah.
And see how that goes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, thank you.
When I have a very emotional state, I use the healer.
Come again,
you use
Muslim?
Healer.
Inhaler.
Yeah. I'm more aware here.
Yeah.
Sure. It's very strong, right? Yeah. At that time, I'm not very skillful, that's why I use a more object. All the time, I put in the market, because this is very obvious. I stay in this object. My emotion is there. But later, this awareness present, then it's slowly going on. And also, you can learn this, what happened. I use the inhaler all the time, and later become habit. Whenever I walk in, I inhale like here, like it. You know inhaler?
Yeah.
Smell strong, right?
Yeah.
Make clear.
This is your. This was your way to stay focused on inhaling.
Yeah.
Oh.
Is it an object that stays there?
Yeah.
Right, obvious. But that was early stage.
Earlier stage, because at beginning start, I cannot handle my emotion. But still working, How to do? I continue its emotion and I walk. The walk is very worse. Very bad. So how to handle this emotion in the walking time? I can do only this anamana.
And you think that was skillful at that time?
Huh?
It was skillful?
It was. Because of this, then the mind a little bit calm down. Then I can handle my job.
Yeah. So you consider it to be skillful at that time?
Yes. Let the mind something to let it, the mind settle down. They cannot think too much.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this thing you make trouble a lot.
Too much.
Cannot handle emotion. So how to do but cannot think? The mind only two things: focus or thinking. If you don't want to think, focus. At that time, I only know this. I use this. I will look at the look. I'm walking. I walk also cannot stop. I need to walk, but depression also still there. Then I cannot walk this emotion and walking together. But I need to think how to do what I know. What I know, and I use my one knowledge.
Thank you. Very good for the panic attack.
Yes. Because of panic is because thought is spinning.
Yes.
It become then you become nothing to do.
Yes. You become don't know what to do.
Yeah, don't know what to do. Even I cannot decide this buy or not.
Yeah.
My hand is shaking. I see that this clothes.
Yeah.
I need to buy this clothes. Buy or not.
Yeah.
The seller come to show me. It's a sample. It's a sample.
Yeah.
Before it's buy, sell, like this.
Yeah.
But now. Cannot decide. Very shaking. Wow. How to do? I cannot decide. I think more doubles. Buy or not? Buy or not? I change my thing with the routine.
Yes.
That time I can know my mind very well.
Yeah.
But this is not awareness because obvious. Because
yeah.
The mind is so obvious.
Yeah.
Identify and knowing the mind. So more worse and worse.
Yeah.
Very difficult time, but some thinking come to mind like this, then body also becomes shaking.
Yeah.
So I cannot stop. I need to stop thinking.
Yeah.
So I know that if you don't want to think, focus something. Then I all the time focus something. This is my punaya blubyong.
This is resting place.
This is my
refuge.
Refuge.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the mind is thinking all the time.
I will try to talk about something that's been picking on my mind, and I was thinking maybe not to share it because maybe it's not so interesting for everybody. Maybe it's too much story. So I tried to make it short.
Du säger det med att du blir och finna.
But what brings this up again is because how to handle emotions.
Dhamma is always interesting.
Yeah.
Telling whatever you want.
No, but it's how to handle emotions, and I understand that if you're caught in a storm of negative emotions that's dragging you down, then of course it could be good to focus on another object. But I'm also thinking that some emotions have to be gone through.
Yes.
We have to go through them and in some way be intimate with the feelings or the emotional feelings. Because it's a part of being a human being, and where we are right now is not enlightened beings, I think. So what I'm thinking about right now from my own personal experience is that before I went to this retreat, I had a close relative, I still have, that is causing me some sadness. And I was thinking we will see how I will deal with this during this retreat. And it didn't come up so strongly. It's just been there in the background.
Yeah.
And then one day I was going for a walk in the forest and I was thinking I need a map maybe on the phone. So I turned on the phone and there was a text message from that relative. So that brought up a lot of things. And one thing is that...
That interests me, right? This object count, this mind count.
That is very... So first I think, okay, big mistake to put on the phone on the retreat. But because suddenly there was no training camp, it was the real invite, sort of. And what is coming to my mind is that what this person is doing to me and some other relatives is really cheating.
Mm.
According to all the facts
evidence,
that's on the table.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking like this, that this person wouldn't do this to me if she was interested in a relationship with me.
Mm-hmm.
So in the same way, I feel like I'm loosening a sister, you know, like
losing
really
a sister. Yeah.
Loosening. I don't want to. I want to talk, but this person is not interested in talking.
Mm-hmm.
I try to, like, but it's like just aggressive silence.
Mm.
So it's very hard to handle in some way, in some constructive way, to talk, to have a good constructive discussion.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Why do you do this? Or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm right there in this midst of storm of emotions. And I'm like, okay, how do I handle this? I observe it. Okay, it's coming up. And I'm thinking, what is the wise thing to do right now?
Yeah.
Action plan also.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
What should I do when I come out?
Yeah.
And how do I handle it now? And as soon as I get into the action plan, I see like, okay, calling or whatever, and I get a little bit into the story, what the dialogue, oh, I would say this, she would say that, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, that's into the story, get back, what's this good? And I'm sort of figuring it out, but at the same time, I'm like, I should allow myself to be sad, maybe feel anger, maybe feel disappointment, without like self-justify, like I'm right to be angry, but really it's natural feelings. It's if some person do something that is really terrible to you, like really really terrible, you should like, this is human feelings, like okay, I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm feeling disappointment, I feel this, the whole and all the relatives to that.
Yeah.
And now when I'm in the midst of it and I have these tools, I'm a little bit, I know what I would say to somebody else. Like I would say, just be with them, observe them, let them be, you know. But when I'm doing it to myself, it's like, yeah, it's difficult. I don't know. That's it. This is where I am. But it's not my whole reality. There's like 20%, then there's all the other things, eating and doing things. And,
yeah. You tell me. The gadabus up here. The mala, mala, wingwella, the cuckoo alumno. That's a good no matter what to Meluche Ubol, it a met.
Meluche
was a hope. A social deal. Bassara doctor a hope. To go pin it at Lure, Nene, and she had a patted at Lugia, Blue Kanzala said, do you want to go near it at what? Dama di luar, zikah apa yang macam, tu apa yang itu zikah deh. Mau besar je pekhan.
Oh,
doki bro, macam apa yang apa yang, elah tu nilu le miao, bapie le, bajang di luar, biar lu miao deh, pasal tu apa yang la, elah tu bro doa apa apa ni deh, tu biar tu apa tu lesen zara le, tu balutin le balutin lesen zara, divine, macam tu apa, tu Kau mana? Lu baru mesin zaman ni, kau pin ni dah kancah aku, kau nak kami kancah, bi kancah dengar kau, cina ni, aku mah, wun ni dah soalnya wun ni, cikgu dah soalnya cikgu, dah dah pin dah soalnya dah dah pin dah, kau dah ada bawa memang la, dah yau yau kau kau sozo wawa tak kulo dah soalnya kau dah dah pin mah ber, oh di kancah muri lama ber, tu ye. Eh, tu pelajar di cakap lu sendiri ni, tu pelajar mahu dia lihat dia layak, Peter Dali when I come back. A lot of candy there, about candy there.
What candy there? Did you have a candy?
Is it difficult to know what you're feeling?
Is it difficult?
To know what you are feeling.
No. It's not.
I can spot that.
So this is your chance.
Yeah.
You know, he says to continue to know them, and then as you know them, the choice comes to you whether you want to allow the mind to keep running its story and feeling how it feels. In the sense of like indulging our feelings. Do you just want to indulge the feeling? Oh, you know, I'm so sad, oh, I'm so angry, I'm so disappointed. So we can feel it in the sense that we want to be in touch with it so that we are aware of it, but not to feed it. Not to be like, oh, I'm right, I should be sad, I should be angry, I should... So then, you know, the question comes, okay, it's not, I'm not being mindful because to solve the problem. It's not so that I will stop being sad or stop being angry or stop being disappointed. Why am I disappointed? Why am I angry? So have that question in mind. That is your direction, and then observe.
That's how you use the opportunity
to learn.
And if we are able to learn,
you know, we can, you know, use it. He says then you engage with the person the way you need to, you know, in a fair and mature manner. You do what you need to do.
Mm.
You do what you need to do in the right or the wise way.
Yeah.
What they do, whether they respond correctly, incorrectly, wisely, unwisely, that's their problem.
Yeah.
You just make sure your own side is the best you can be.
This
is one day we lose everybody, either in death or in life.
Yeah, I think it's, I have quite, not so many relatives, it's I can count them within one hand, and that's why it's, you know, a little bit like that, and when it's, as Sayadaw knows and warns us about, when it comes to relatives, wear extra protection clothes, and it becomes a bit more sticky when it's somebody that's really close, and it's a little bit more difficult to handle, and that's why I thought maybe it was healthy just to talk about it, even though I know some of the answers myself, but just to talk about it releases a little bit and gives some distance so I can work with it in a more proper way.
He says, and remember, he says, you're not giving them up. Whatever they choose to do, you can still be there.
Absolutely.
So this morning I returned from the morning walk, and there was a couple of minutes before the bell for the morning meditation, I thought to myself, like, oh, it would be good to spend like these few moments at the fire just watching the lake and so on, until somebody
at the pier,
mm-hmm. yeah, jetty, pier,
yeah.
at the pier, before somebody rings the bell. So I, and then a thought occurred, oh, but I'm the person that's responsible for ringing this bell in the morning. And then I thought, yes, of course, but it'd be a different me, that a different person that would be ringing this bell,
okay.
so I can still, instead of like going here and checking the time and so on, I can still enjoy this time that I thought I would enjoy at the pier,
yeah.
and then go ring a bell.
Yeah.
That's quite, I mean, that was this like losing some like one on one side and the identification, on the other side the what we are involved with, like the daily chores, for example, which I should kind of like remember more of,
like too much involvement, less of that.
Well, I think I should have been like more mindful of that it's my job to do that ringing a bell, because afterwards I could go to that pier and like forget about it in a way, but it turned out well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like there was a certain like loba in wanting to go there and rest until somebody does the job, and
yes.
there was wisdom coming with the whole thing of, okay, you can do that and then do the other thing.
Yeah. Okay, so it started with greed and then right thought came. Okay. So you mean to ho jetty or sin rather than eh? But he can't jin there. That's in the other home. Mamma Kalkin to talk about Taya light on me. Because I love a little bit. They want to sit up, Mamma Kalkin, to be there. ก็ฟังดูเพียงนะครับแล้วมันจะซื้อได้ไล่ดอกแต่แม้ลบอ่ะเนาะอกูน่ะอกูจะเหรอโหบ่รู้ข้อมั้ยแล้วบาเลยโหรีซนเนเบิลทิงกิ้งบาเลยบ่รู้ข้อมั้ยจังโจซีเดียวสิ้นซาดตะเพิ่นๆเดียวบ่สิ้นซาดตะตัวบ่รู้สิ้นซาอ๋อดีอลุกอกูเฉ็จๆโลกอ่ะแม้อลุบ่ฮู้เออก็โหล้ไปเนาะอกูอ๋องาล้อ่ะแม้สรุปว่ามาตั้วบ่เฉ็จๆไปแล้วถ่ายซ่องนี่แม้อสา
So so another thing I'm thinking about is this question that Siadu asked way back when, it's like a few retreats back in Slovakia, how to shower without craving?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this question is... So this...
Did he say to shower without craving or to shower with awareness?
How to shower without craving? So I kind of stuck with that question and carry it with me wherever I go, and I have newer solutions for whether it's at all possible. And lately, before arriving at this retreat, I've noticed the thing about showering,
yeah.
and it's in general about many objects appearing at once. Like, for example, there is commotion, or for example, rain starts falling. There is this sudden rise of mindfulness.
Yeah.
Well, the shower, I usually shower in the morning, so I go there a bit sleepy, and then I turn on the shower, there's a lot of these little drops coming out, and then I'm awake and mindful just because of like many objects appearing.
Yeah.
And while that, I've noticed that it's probably impossible to shower without craving unless somebody is like totally enlightened. But because there's always some sort of craving that's connected with like pleasurable vedanas. There's always craving growing on them, but it is possible to be mindful of that.
Okay.
So that's the furthering of this question, how to shower without craving.
Okay.
You mean
a cold shower?
Yeah. Not that pleasurable.
Don't use hot shower.
အဲ့အဲ့ဒီဒီကိုရေးစစ်စစ်စားဖို့အတွက်ရေးချိုးတယ်။အမြဲတမ်းထားတယ်။အဲ့တော့သူကတော်ပြီပြီ။တော်ပြီပို့ပို့ပြလာတယ်။ဒါပေမဲ့သူစစ်စားတယ်လေ။လောဘမပါဘဲနဲ့တကယ်ရေချိုးလို့ရမလားတော့မသိဘူးတဲ့။ဒီလိုမလာခင်ကတခုတည်းထားဆိုတော့မနဲ့ချင်ရင်နိုးလာတဲ့အခါမှာလူတိုင်းကရေချိုးမယ်။အဲ့တော့နည်းနည်းအိမ်ကဂုံဂုံဂုံဖြစ်တယ်။သူအိမ်ကအိမ်ကနဲ့ရေချိုးဖို့တွားတယ်။ရေစချိုးပြီဆ to several theatre, Tama to Pura, a good hero to sick at tenner volley. Lava Mapa, Venero, Ye Cholo, Mayao, Dabin at the deep tabula, Ye Cholo Yare.
A good chain at the love. Conclusion appears with China.
But don't make a conclusion yet.
Yeah,
it's an ongoing process. Yes,
however, this is, there's I found one exception to that rule about the craving with the how to shower without craving on this very retreat.
Yes.
I mean, there was certain condition arising that let me shower without craving, and that was sauna first and then swimming in the lake.
Yes.
And afterwards, when I took the shower, there was no craving. Usually, there would be craving for like hot temperature of warm water and so on. And this was like
neutral.
Yeah, it was totally neutral.
Totally.
It was only this amount needed.
Keep gathering more
information.
As our mindfulness gets stronger, our wisdom gets stronger, our experiences are seen differently.
Yeah. Yesterday, this experience when walking in the forest it was not really this sudden realization, but more like of ongoing process of watching the mind, of processes in the mind, like body appearing in the mind, all the five sensors appearing within the mind, and of course the mind, the thoughts appearing in the mind, and then for like some time it was like this, the processes in the mind were like totally independent, were like feeding on themselves, and they were totally independent. And then after a few moments of that, because it was different than usual experience of everyday life, there was a thought of it like, of course this mind is totally independent, but what about this thing when I'm sometimes in control of something? How does it work? And then this feeling of like the mind being independent waned.
But yeah, Dora Malansha Mirore to Tin Sika, the Dora Nabako, Sita Matine, Sekuna Tine, Dreamer Latine, Nalotine, Carano Tina, and Matu, but to run to Tine, Kanamija, Sika Cesare, number Hima, Sika, two hot Tata Chipian. ตู้หาตู้ตู้ตู้อายุเนี่ยก็บาเลยเสร็จแล้วตู้ลงตู้ลงเนี่ยพอ Yeah, he says you didn't look at that thought.
Well.
Yeah, you didn't look at that thought as well.
Which one?
The one that thought, what about when I'm in, feel like I'm in control? And you didn't also just know that thought as well?
No, no. This thought became like...
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It's just something. Yeah. It's an experience. Once the identification starts creeping into the thought and we don't remember to keep noticing it, then, you know, slowly the other state sort of fades.
Okay. And I had this thought on this retreat that was about most or pretty much all of the breakthroughs I had with meditation or general cultivation, bhavana, was that the underlying theme was that each one of them there was one thing that they had in common, and that was the reducing the energy needed for the carrying on of the awareness.
Yeah. So nyam phit dai phit dai ne takhu tadi tha mi de le nyam phit pi dai phit tadi tha me in a the ya le in a yo yo la le.
Like it doesn't matter the experience.
Ba me chong chong.
Adon learning process.
Learning process.
Yeah, actually, like
the more wisdom there is, the less the personal effort needs to. Yeah, less.
I have a question about which we were thinking with you yogis. In regular life, about practicing martial arts. So in there is component always present to harm other person in martial arts.
Even when you're practicing?
Yes.
Really? You practice and you intend to harm your opponent?
Your mind is thinking about, you have to have a mind that where you think about.
How to overcome the opponent at least, but to harm
them? Well, those martial arts which I have briefly practiced, at least in them.
Okay, what are they?
Karate and I don't remember which was the other one. It was.
Is it because it's about using like maximum force and using like as much energy as you can?
Well, they were both of them were there were competitive element element in them. So yeah, that's probably one. And I haven't thought about from that point of view overcoming the opponent. Well, we were thinking that one person who was had more experience in martial arts said that that in his point of view there is always this kind of component of harming other person. So then I started thinking, and I have thought before also this, that is there a skillful way to practice martial arts, or a wise way to practice them? If there is the competitive component, then I think that there may be not, because it's actually thinking about how efficiently can you
beat the other person.
Yeah, literally. But then if there is not competitive element, then I'm not so sure. So. Yeah.
The martial arts lota, the karate and not the real lota. He said it's possible. He said it's possible if you are mindful of yourself fully.
Even the competitive.
He says, concede surrender, then you don't have to fight the other guy. Because there's always the knowledge that if you don't beat the other person will beat you. I said I like the concept of this movie called, I don't know, you see there's this movie called Hero, and there's this concept in it that if you become the ultimate expert, you know, that because you don't have to beat everybody, then you no longer have the, you could kill somebody, and the way they say it is with a blade of grass at 100 feet or 10 feet or something. You have the power to do that, but then you no longer need to do it. So you can still fight the fight, but you won't kill the person.
I practiced as a child. I practiced judo, and as an adult, aikido. The brown belt in aikido, and they're as far as I can tell, they're both about, but particularly aikido is about disarming and diffusing. The other person's energy,
not so harming.
So you render them
powerless, but
yeah,
you don't harm
through harming.
That's
great. And it's a really skillful, really beautiful, very meditative, actually. But it can also be very powerful and very strong.
Yeah.
And like that killing from a blade of grass.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like that, but the intention is to do disengage their energy rather than.
But I'm still interested how to actually if you practice something in which you use force, how it's not competitive, how it's possible with that.
Yeah, I do. He said, "Be mindful." I don't know. There was a guy who was a karate. Karate ma yan toy da ma tu poto ang tu pure ha tu alokai de dia tu kai na mamila. There was this Israeli who came once to the center, and he studied karate, and he was very good at it. But his teacher told him that if he wanted to become better, he must soften his mind. So then he softened his mind.
Yeah.
So then he went to start learning to meditate and all to soften his mind so that he could become better. It's quite interesting, the paradox.
And there is always the intention with which the martial arts are practiced, and most of them, at least most of this traditional Asian martial arts are practiced as a self-defense. So whereas of course there may be physical harm, this is done with not the intention of harming, but with the intention of defending.
Yes, if we can keep an eye on our intentions and that we don't really, you know, start intending to harm.
Yeah,
so in self-defense, we have to bring the other person down. I don't know, I haven't done it, so I don't know what mine comes into. Yellow Yabila.
Yes, Yabi.
Okay.
See you next time. No problem. We're not pushing. Yeah. Wow, time to eat.
Sometimes my mind is wandering, and then mindfulness comes back, kind of surprisingly, and it feels as if it sort of sets in very abruptly and interrupts the thought and the feeling that's going on. So I'm sometimes thinking, is the mindfulness that comes in, could it be triggered by some sort of an aversion to the ongoing experience?
Not just because you don't like it. But that you've been practicing mindfulness, and so there is some residue of that, and that sort of kicks in.
Residue.
The mindfulness. There's some momentum of mindfulness that comes in by itself. It's like the mindfulness is like, oh, it's my turn again, and wakes up, because you have been practicing it. Yeah.
But I feel that sometimes there's different ways that mindfulness can say it. Like there's different ways that mindfulness can set in. Like sometimes it comes very smoothly and doesn't interrupt the experience.
So maybe, you know, there's no need to assume why it's there. Just keep watching. Maybe you will discover why it's
there.
Yeah? But the great thing is that it has come. Yeah. No matter how it arrives.
Okay. See you next time. Where, I don't know.
Yeah. Ooh.